216-578-0092. It's obviously been a ton of fun to follow the Cavaliers the last maybe week or so because there's been a ton of news there. You've got a lot of good things going on with the Browns. And in the last hour of the program, if you want to talk a little bit about the Browns and Bengals, I'm okay with that too, but would really like to focus on Ohio State and Michigan because this is a game that a lot of people around the state are nervous about, certainly if you're a Buckeye fan, and understandable for that. Jim in Cleveland, we'll get to you. I promise I won't forget about you. But in the meantime, on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, we say good morning to former quarterback Greg Fry, who played for the Buckeyes in the late 80s. Greg, thanks for tuning in.
Hey, I'm happy to be here.
Glad to have you on board, man. I want to pick your brain about a couple of different things here because it's easy to just preview the game. Maybe we can get to that. But I want you to try to take people inside what it's like to play in this rivalry. You know, it's for Ohio-born kids, this is, in a lot of ways, the pinnacle of what you're preparing for and what you dream about. Take me into the locker room before the game. Take me through your emotions, what you're feeling, and how you try to balance the anxiety and the butterflies and the excitement with trusting your preparation to go out and perform.
It's a hard one to put into words. The focus and the intensity of a week like this is unlike any other. And I can tell you, you know, come 9 o'clock on game day, you're just itching to, you want to play so bad, so fast, because you want to get the anxiety out because there's so much anxiety and not as much anxiety, but just energy that you're ready to expend on the field. And I think if I go back to my first start in 1988, I don't remember the locker room, but I remember the bus drive going to the stadium, you know, listening to music and just, I mean, nearly coming out of my skin. I couldn't wait. And there's just the energy. It's just, it's unlike anything I've ever experienced in my life. And anybody that's played this game would probably tell you that. And I know in that game, it took me literally the entire first half to settle down. Like, I overthrew, I don't know how many balls. Michigan had a chance to intercept a couple, and they were thrown so hard they couldn't catch them. because there's just so much energy. As a player, you've got to learn to channel that and be able to control your emotions and conserve some energy before the game, but know when to bring it up at the right point. But it's every year was like that, and it's just such a great thing to be part of this rivalry.
Have you ever had that feeling replicated elsewhere in your life since your playing days at Ohio State ended?
Not a chance. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. Not even close.
I can imagine, man. It's a fun rivalry for sure. It's the best in the country in a lot of people's opinion. I know you played briefly as a redshirt freshman in 87 when the Buckeyes beat Michigan up at the Big House by 3 points. And all 4 years that you had chances to play, the games were really tight. What is your lasting memory of playing in the rivalry? Like, when you reflect on your time playing against Michigan, what stands out to you?
Excuse me, that's a great question. I think there's a lot of memories from that week. And you know, anytime this week comes along, I'm reminded of those because people bring them up. They'll say, hey, I remember this or I remember that. You know, for me, the 87 game, it stands out. And this week, a movie was released on Earl Bruce's life, the Earl Bruce story, I Am a Buckeye. And the 87 game is a big piece of that. And I was a factor in that game because I was able to come off the bench and throw a key third down conversion with the game tied, which led to the winning field goal. And for me, that was a validation of, you know, hey, I could do this. You know, I was thrown under, you know, I mean, it's one of those situations you dream of. And Coach Bruce believed in me enough to call a pass play on a 3rd-and-9, and I completed that. So that was, to be part of that game as his last game, and to win that in the rivalry is something I will never forget. But I would also say, you know, the other 3 years, we lost 3 close games. Those stung. But I have so much respect for the rivalry and you know, for the guys I played against. And I remember not a lot of smack talk. I know maybe things are a little different now. Maybe there was some by the receivers and DBs, but you know, where I played the game, you know, a lot of times, you know, maybe a defensive lineman hit me. You know, I remember Mark Mesner just hitting me time and time again. But at the end of the game, just looking at each other, like, you know, with respect, like, hey, man, great game. You know what I mean? Because you knew you had expended so much energy. And there was just, it was a cool thing. So I don't see rivalries like that out there that even compare, as I mentioned earlier.
Coach Urban Meyer has even said so much that you can't have a rivalry like this without being able to respect what your opposition does, and there's no doubt that that respect continues today. Greg Fry, former Ohio State quarterback, our guest this morning here on 92.3 The Fan. We are 2 hours, 31 minutes, and 26 seconds away from kickoff down in Columbus. It's going to be a rainy, wet, cold, and windy afternoon. Perfect, right?
Well, you know, I tend to look at the weather very closely. So I just looked at it beforehand, and the rain's, it's just a slight chance of showers. The wind's not going to be too bad. You know, you and I are both doing games last night for high school. It's a factor, but it's really not. So I think the weather's actually going to be pretty good, all things considered.
Let's talk about Urban Meyer for a second. 80-9 as the coach of the Buckeyes. He's never lost to Michigan. His teams have only been underdogs six times now, and the last five times they've not only covered the spread, but they've won. I can't imagine that he's been through a more difficult year between his obvious health issues and all the distractions around the program this year. And I don't want to ask you to go inside of Urban's head. I don't think anybody knows the answers to what he's thinking. But I want to know what kind of impact it makes on a player, particularly a quarterback or a senior or a captain. Are there specific things that you can do as a player when you've got all these distractions about other things going on, and many of them involve your coach? What can you do as a player to try to neutralize those and just focus on playing?
Well, I would agree that it's been a tumultuous year, and I mean, there's no denying that. And I'm quite sure there will be some fallout at the end of the year with certain members of the coaching staff, and there's been a lot of speculation on him. So time will tell what's going to happen there. But, you know, as a player, it's just all about galvanizing as seniors and as leaders, and or it doesn't matter who you are, but especially the seniors and leaders. And I think I can just go back to 87 again, because that was the week that Earl Bruce was fired on Monday. You can't get more adversity than that in this week. And as players, we rallied together that week. And it started with Earl's unselfishness to just coach and do his thing, even though he just got fired. And if you know, there's pictures of wearing the Earl headband. So we were unified as a group, and that galvanized us. So I think, you know, for the Buckeyes, that's what I'm looking for out of them today, is some fire, you know, especially that defensive unit, to play with some fire and some attitude today. And just from a pride standpoint, forget the X's and O's, you know, show up today and play your best game. Because I think, you know, again, to dial into some of the X's and O's today, we haven't seen the Buckeyes play their best game yet. And that's what they're going to need today to be able to win this game.
We'll break down the game itself in just a minute, but I want to play hypothetical here for a moment. I think there are some people that say, no way, no how, the Buckeyes cannot possibly make the college football playoff no matter what happens. I think there are some people that are overly hopeful that say, yeah, absolutely, it's still possible and maybe even probable. I'm kind of somewhere in between. But let's say, for argument's sake, Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame all went out, okay, and they make the playoff. Washington State lost last night, so that could help. But Oklahoma beat West Virginia. Their only loss remains a game-winning field goal as time expired against Texas. They're going to see the Longhorns again in the Big 12 championship game. So maybe that hurts Ohio State. But if the Buckeyes win out, and let's say they do it convincingly, do they have a realistic chance to make the playoffs, or do you think that whatever they do, it just might not be quite enough?
I would say no, because the powers that be that you see in here on TV are basically writing them off.
And, yeah,
you know, they're spreading the propaganda that it's okay for Oklahoma to score a lot of points or to give up a lot of points on defense, and they're good, but it's not okay for Ohio State. And I think part of that is just because of the ugly way that Ohio State lost at Purdue and by the points they lost to. That's a stinger that's hard to shake off. Can they make it in? Yeah, they can, but I see it as a long shot. I really do. And I think for the Buckeyes, you know, to win out convincingly is asking a lot. I think, you know, can they win? Can they beat Michigan? Yes. Can they beat Northwestern? Yes. Can they do both? That's no guarantee, and I think that goes for both teams. You know, whoever wins today, Northwestern's just sitting there laying in the weeds. They're not a pushover.
No.
At all. So, you know, there's a long way to go, but I think the first step of the Buckeyes is, you know, if they take care of business today, they're going to make a statement.
Offensively,
and that's the first order of business.
I beg your pardon. Offensively, Ohio State has kind of had trouble running the football this year, and maybe Dwayne Haskins' success has masked that a little bit, because they've been able to throw it literally on anybody. They're the second best aerial attack in the country. What impresses you most about Dwayne Haskins?
Boy, I mean, his release. He impressed me 2 years ago when I saw him in a spring game, just with his release. He's just got it's special, and it's He's very accurate. He sees the field quite well. He's well coached. I mean, Ryan Day is one of the best. So that's a tremendous combination. But he in the last few weeks, he showed me some fire. You know, I went to the Michigan State game and I saw some fire coming out of him. And I like that because that's going to be needed today. He needs to step up as a leader emotionally for this team as well as making plays.
I'm not really a big prediction guy, Greg, and I don't want to ask you to put a prediction on the line either. That's just never really been my thing. Yeah. But is there a key matchup that you think fans really want to keep an eye on? Something the Buckeyes, you know, really have a chance to take advantage of today that could swing the game?
Absolutely. There's a few. And I think one is Chase Winovich, you know, and whether he's healthy enough to play. And my guess, I have no clue. But I would say even if he plays, is he 100%? Because if he's in there, his ability to help with the pass rush is big. And I think that's one of the key factors is getting pressure on Haskins through the Michigan defense because Don Brown loves to play man defense. And if you look at the film, you know, they got guys one-on-one. And the thing with Ohio State is they've got four or five receivers that can get open. So I think Michigan's top two or three cover guys are pretty good. But there's going to be some one-on-one matchups that guys are going to get open. And they don't need much of a window with Haskins. So the question is, can they get to Haskins before he can find that guy? But if Haskins can find that guy, I mean, Tyree Kanell, he can't cover everybody being the free safety in center field. He's got to lean one way or the other. So, you know, that's the nature of the NFL game. Find that one-on-one matchup. And when you're playing Michigan, if you can find that matchup and exploit that, you can hurt them. But if you don't, your quarterback's on his butt. And to me, that's a big part of this game today. And as a fan, I can't wait to see how Ohio State responds to that pressure that they know that's going to come.
We're reading on Twitter that Chase Winovich has been cleared to play, and so that will certainly factor into things for the Buckeyes here this afternoon. Again, Greg Frey, the former Ohio State quarterback, our guest. Greg, before we let you go, I know you've got a busy weekend upcoming, so just a little self-promotion for you. The high school state championships will be in Canton next weekend at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I mentioned earlier that at least from Northeast Ohio, St. Edward, Archbishop Hoban, Kenston, and Kirtland have all punched their tickets. Cuyahoga Heights hoping today that they can go as well. As many as maybe five teams from Northeast Ohio. A lot of people in this area proud of the high school football teams. First of all, what games do you have next weekend, and will you see any of those Northeast Ohio teams?
Well, I will, and I know the times of the games that I have. I just don't know. I haven't seen the lineup yet as far as who's playing at what time. So all I know is I've got the 3 o'clock game. The first two games on Friday, so the 10 o'clock and the 3 o'clock. And I'm doing a combination of radio for OHSAA and then Spectrum on TV. And then Saturday I've got the 3 o'clock game and the night game. So that's kind of how it works. You know, from the broadcast standpoint, that's what it's laid out. So I've got to fill in the blanks of those teams. But I'm sure I'm going to see a handful of those teams up there. And I got to give a shout-out and a root for Coach Martin. I had a chance to meet him last year from Cuyahoga Heights, and I really like him. He's been so close the last couple of years. They've had a great year, so I'm showing a little bias right there. But you know, you get to know some of these coaches, and there's some you really root for. But certainly, congratulations to all the teams in Northeast Ohio and around Ohio that have made it this far in advance. That's saying something when you get to Week 15. That's a big deal.
Cuyahoga Heights, the smallest of the small school divisions, at Division 7. They were a state runner-up last year and have a chance to try and avenge that loss next weekend. So we'll see if the Redskins can do that. Good luck to them. Greg, thanks so much for your time. Enjoy the game and really appreciate your perspective on this rivalry.
Anytime I can help, I'm happy to.
Glad to have you. All right, Greg Frey, our guest on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.